Aloysia, for inviting me here. I think it is a great pleasure for me to come to Perimeter Institute and tell you about what we do at Western. Our university is called, by the way, Western University. I think we used to be called the University of Western Ontario. So I think this year, last year, I think we changed our name. We are called it Western.
I apologize for that.
Yeah. So I think that is, I wrote here the two. This is the, I think, and probably some of you already know that Waterloo University used to be College of University of Western Ontario. It was college of ours. And in 1960s, I think it became university. So I think it is one of the oldest university in Canada, very old university. And a huge university, it's very, one of the richest university in Canada. It's very, you guys may not know, but if you go and see our campus, it is very, very rich campus. Okay, and another thing I want to tell you, that we have a theoretical physics program since, I think, 30 years. It is one of the oldest, in fact, this is second oldest theoretical physics program in Canada. First was in Alberta, University of Alberta. This, and PI came third, by the way. I want to just remind you that theoretical physics is quite known. And I'm currently director. I'm director since 25 years, I would say, on and off of this institute. Okay, my talk will be, I started very traditional condensed matter person, like doing quantum Hall effect, fractional quantum Hall effect, cyclotron resonance in semiconductor, okay? Recently, I'm changed my field, and we are mostly concentrating on nanomaterials, okay? I'm a theoretical person. I will not show a lot of equations somehow. I think since giving talks so many years, I decided I will just avoid equations, though I think you will not see many of them. Okay, so I will try to really, because I think some of you may be not working in this area, therefore, I would like to really introduce you what hybrid nano materials are. And then what I will tell you that photonic materials can be divided in many types, but I'm going to show you some of them, like polaritonic materials, excitonic materials, photonic crystals. Recently, there's a lot of work going on meta materials, okay? There are new type of materials which have been invented recently. So I think we are working on them. We started just recently, about 1 year ago. And then I will try to show you one photon absorption, two photon, and photoluminescence, that sort of thing I will tell you. And basically, these two processes are nonlinear effects. And plasma heating is recently used to treat a cancer. These nanoparticles are injected in your body, and they go in particular places, and you can remove cancers. So I think we are also interested on this type of work. Okay, let's see how it. Oh my God, I'm not really good on these things. What should I say next? Okay. Now, before I start my lecture, I want to really advertise what we are doing. We are organizing an international conference on nanomaterials. We got some funding from U.S. Air Force. They are giving us, therefore, so it is going to be held on August, between August 12th to 16th. So I think you're most welcome to attend it, and as some of you will get invitation letters I'm going to send recently. And then there's another major event I'm organizing is is Klaus von Clissing, who invented quantum Hall effect. In fact, I know him since many, many years because I was working in Max Planck Institute, Stuttgart University. So he's coming. He's going to stay about 1 week at Western, and then he's going to give a talk on 18th and 19th. So I think I will send some advertisement regarding that too. Okay, these are some of my collaborators. I want to just mention one name here, which is Joel Cox. He's sitting here. He came with me. He's a graduate student. He's finishing his PhD. And these are other graduate students. Some of them have finished. Some of them are working. And then I'm collaborating experimentally with UK, Spain, all sort of thing. Whoever want to work with me, I'm willing to work. And we have written some papers on that. So now what I'm going to tell you a little bit about nanomaterials. And nanomaterials which I'm going to talk about are semiconductor nanoparticles like quantum dots, nanocrystals, and nanowires. And then I'm going to also talk about metallic nanoparticles. And nowadays, there's a lot of work is going on spheres, gold spheres, nanorods, and nanodiscs. People are making them, and they're trying to make some devices out of it. So therefore, I'm more a little bit inclined to more experimental. I do some theoretical work and try to understand existing experiments. So that is the things what I'm doing nowadays. And as I told you that recently, metamaterials are also made in nano size. And therefore, they have very interesting properties, which I will tell you about that. And these are the substrate which I'm going to use. I'm going to use like here. So I have one of the example can be quantum dot, and then I can take graphene and deposit on a substrate. And substrate, I can take any one of the metamaterials or different type of metamaterials you can put. And the same type of theory you can apply by changing certain properties. Now, one of the beauty of these nano hybrid system is they are called hybrid nanomaterials. Hybrid means you are mixing different type of nanomaterials together and making new material. That is what new technology need nowadays. That existing technology like pure semiconductors, pure metals, we have used centuries and centuries. Now we have to really develop new type of systems, new type of materials, and they do not exist in nature anymore, right? So you have to somehow combine them together and see what type of new properties you can get out of them, right? So that is the main purpose of, and there's a large amount of people in physics, engineering, medical science and chemistry, you know, they are working on this area. This is a really very popular area nowadays. So I will give you some of the examples. For example, you can have metal, nanoparticle, gold. You can have quantum dot together and then your substrate. That can be one system. And there is huge amount of work is going on these systems. And not only that, the medical doctors are very much interested on gold nanoparticles, how you can use them. Are quantum dots, how they can use them to treat cancer and all sort of treatment. Okay, so there are a lot of work going on. You can have graphene and a quantum dot, which we have done some work recently. You can have metal nanorod because different size, when you change size from here to here, their properties change. And then you can manipulate the physical property by changing their size. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about that. You can have two quantum dots together, this type of work, and you can have carbon nanotubes and this chemical molecular dyes, and nowadays people are doing on metamaterials, which I'm going to tell you what they are. So what I'm saying, there's no end of, you can have enormous amount of new hybrid system you can build now. Therefore, your research really expanding sort of exponentially, because you can produce so many type of these new type of nanomaterials and new type of new devices, a new type of physics you can get from these materials. Let me take one simple example, which is quantum dot. And I will talk a lot about quantum dots. Let me give you a simple example, like let's take a quantum dot which is made from gallium arsenide and aluminum arsenide materials, okay? And their size is about few, 3-4 nanometer, so this is very, very small size. And you can, for students who are undergraduate or doing PhD, you can understand their band gap. This has higher band gap. The band gap is lying here for aluminum arsenide. For gallium arsenide, band gap is lower. Therefore, electrons which are here, they are confined within the this quantum well, it's called, and then energy states are localized. Therefore, you can calculate these energy states in quantum dot, and by changing the size, if you change the size of this, you can accommodate more quantized states. This is just first year quantum physics. And then you can, by changing the dot size or height, you can change the energy difference. Okay? So that's very interesting properties. You can also apply magnetic field, and you can change, like quantum Hall effect, you know, which change the magnetic field. You can spin up, you spin down. You can do many ways. You can apply stress, and you can change the size of quantum dots, and you can change the energy difference. Okay? There are so many ways you can really manipulate the energy difference between the two quantum dots, and that's what I'm going to talk next. Now, let me talk about metallic nanoparticles now. The metallic nanoparticles are made, of course, from metals like gold. And they can be a sphere or can be any size you can make. People are making different sizes, and they are trying to see what structure is more suitable for their research or for making new type of devices. Now, you may have learned that metals have free electrons. So therefore, these electrons are floating within the metal, but they're not bound. And what happens when you apply, they oscillate. They are called plasmons. Dr. Wen went and I think talked about a certain quantum Hall effect and certain ideas, you know, plasmon can be what state it is, you know, whether it's excited state or not. But here, what I'm going to treat, that plasmons are sort of oscillating with certain frequency. These electrons and ions are vibrating with certain frequency, which is omega p. It's called plasmon frequency. And this is the dielectric constant. Means optical properties of material are defined by its dielectric constant. Okay, you have to know the dielectric constant of a material to study their optical properties. Okay, that's important. So you can see for certain frequencies, when omega is less than omega p, this is a very important point, by the way. It's a very simple point, but it's a very important point nowadays in metal nanoparticles. The main point is here that when frequency of light is less than plasmon frequency, this quantity become larger than 1, and this dielectric constant become negative. And that is a very important point. Metals have the only property, metals are the only materials which have this property. No one else. So therefore, that is why metals are very, very important to play important in nanotechnology. Okay? So I'm going to play this game here. So therefore, if you calculate electric field from metal nanoparticles by using Maxwell equation, solve the Maxwell equation, hit the boundary condition, use boundary condition, or sort of thing. You know, at the end, basically what you will get, approximately the electric field produced by this one is nothing, the dielectric constant of this background material here, and the dielectric constant of metal. And here, there's some constant come which take care of the size of the material. whether it is a sphere or whether it is a wire or it is a flat, you know, like a two-dimensional system. This controls that. But the main point is really on this, I want to convince you that main point of this is electric field. You can see when this is a real quantity, this is a real quantity, this is a real quantity, this is the only quantity can become negative. And that quantity can be matter, right? So when this quantity become negative, then whole thing really become quite small, and then you get huge electric field near metal nanoparticles. And this has been verified. Okay, this has been verified by many, many experimentalists. It is not a new thing, and the instruments are made to study this electric field. Okay, this is nothing but evanescence field, electric field, and so this is the property which I'm going to explore in my research. And then since plasmons basically are, so I'm taking, for example, let us say if this is not a spherical metal, it is just a slab of metal if I put here. The plasmons are here, photons are here, and in the surface, in this area, our surface near here, our surface plasmons are created. This is a surface plasmons are created in the interface between metal and substrate. Okay, and these surface plasmons are different than the three-dimensional plasmons which are present in metal, and they are quantized because, you know, they have limited area, in the quantum dot. Therefore, you can quantize them. They have quantized energy. So this is really figure out which I'm drawing here. So these are surface plasmon polaritons. They are called surface plasmon polaritons, and I said surface plasmon polaritons. Polaritons, why polaritons? Because these are coupled to photons. The plasmons, surface plasmon coupled to photons, create new particles which are called polaritons, and they have their own properties. Right? So this is the basic idea. I'm going to consider that metal particle and also graphene. Graphene is also a sort of a metal. It behaves like metal because band gap is almost zero. It behaves like metals. So I'm going to talk about graphene. So this is for metals. So I'm going to talk about graphene now. By the way, some of you know that graphene, Nobel Prize in 2010 was given to graphene, okay? But graphene was invented by Canadian, by the way, theoretically. Theoretically, it was invented by Canadian. And it was invented in 1947. It was a theoretical calculation this gentleman did, and his name is Professor Wallace. And in fact, he was in MIT, like a professor there. He was Canadian. He was asked to come back during the Second World War and work on nuclear project, make atom bombs, you know. And at that time, graphite was used to protect the radiation. So he was working on graphite, and during the graphite calculation, he just calculated the two-dimensional graphite is nothing but graphene. So that's what he did. He calculated the binding structure and everything is history. He predicted already that there's no gap, there's a gap, you know, all sort of thing he predicted, and that's what they are finding now. They are using his theory at that time. Okay, so that's very interesting contribution. And in fact, he was nominated for Nobel Prize along with these people, but he died long, long time ago. The boy, he was not given Nobel Prize because after death, I think they don't. It's a very interesting story about this gentleman. I thought I should. Why I'm really emphasizing the reason behind it? Reason behind it is because I worked with this gentleman about 4 years in McGill University. And I was not working on graphite, but I was working on very similar materials called narrow band gap materials. I worked 4 years, and I published, I can see so many papers, you know, several papers. We went to France, we had collaboration in France about 2 years, and phone clicking. These people used to come and talk to us because we were doing research on a high magnetic field. How you apply high magnetic field in these materials, and von Clissing was very much interested on quantum Hall effect. And during that time, he invented quantum Hall effect when we were in France. And because France, he used to go to do experiments in Grenoble because they had high magnetic field lab. Because if you want to do quantum Hall effect, you need high magnetic field. And there are very few places in the world at that time they had high magnetic field. It was Grenoble, Toulouse, and very few places. And then Tokyo was the third place they developed high magnetic field. So that was a very interesting time. And that was in 1982, 85, those times. Okay, so what Professor Wallace said, that graphene is just two-dimensional carbon atoms, it's just two-dimensional system of materials. And he did very simple calculation. He took these carbon atoms and he used just simple Schrodinger equation. And there's called, you know, when you're doing band structure calculation, I don't know anyone of you have heard band structure calculation. If you are a condensed matter person, you must have taken a course in solid state physics course, Kitchell course, and there are so many methods of calculation of band structure. And one of them is called KP method. I worked many, many years on KP method. He used the KP method, and the, he showed, this is his, by the way, I used his equations to produce this figure, you know, just, and he showed that there is a band gap is very, very small at this region, and there is high band gap at certain regions, okay? So that was, the band gap is almost zero, and when band gap is zero, they can act as metals. So they are called narrow gap semiconductors. There are other semiconductors who behave very similar behavior, but they are cadmium arsenide is another material which act as a narrow gap semiconductors. Okay. In fact, certain materials become metals. Like Mott got Nobel Prize for semiconductor to metal transitions. You know, you can change from metal to semiconductor metal transitions like that. So there are some. I'm going to talk about there are other type of polar tiny. So I told you that graphene and metals really act as metals. They have negative directly constant. That was my purpose to really show. That was the meaning. And I'm going to talk now about polaritons. You know, I was talking about surface polaritons. Then there are other type of polaritons. I think people who do have taken courses in solid state physics. They are called phonon polaritons. You know, you can have a free photon, which is here. And if you take like gallium arsenide or any material which has positive and negative charges, like magnesium oxide or any material, not silicon, not copper, but any material which has two atoms per unit cell. You can take them, and if you put throw phonons, basically these optical phonons can couple and create a phonon polaritons. So this is sort of coupling of photon with phonons, you know, optical phonons, and you can get, so basically the purpose to show that photons have this dispersion relation, which is omega equal to ck, right? So you can get a straight line as k increases, omega increases. Optical phonon generally is constant dispersion relation. When they couple, they create a band gap. So they, in fact, these experiments have been done. People have found that there are polaritons which have band gap. So one of the theme of my lecture today is I'm going to show you that there are many materials in nature, or you can make artificially, whether you can create a photonic gap. That's a very important point, which I want to tell you for lecture. So we have a photonic gap. Of course, we have already done electronic gap. which are nothing but semiconductors. Now, people think that semiconductor technology is disappearing after a few years, and we want to replace it with new technology, okay? We need more faster, and people, I think that the feeling is that photonics is going to replace electronics or polartronics, okay? So there are a lot of work is going on photonic, how you can make photonic devices, how you can make photonic computers. There's a big research institute here where they do a lot of work on this computing, photonic computing. So I think that is, so that's what I want to tell you, that there's a band gap there, like electronic. And then why not you can exploit very similar properties which you have, we studied in electronic case, why not we can use very similar properties in photonic case, and we can probably come up some new ideas. And same thing, you can really have a band gap. Here again, this cartoon says that you have excitons, like in quantum dot. If you take a quantum dot, you have electron and hole pairs. And when you have electron hole pair, they form a particle called excitons. In semiconductors, for example, there are excitons, but they disappear. Their lifetime is very, very small in semiconductors. Therefore, we cannot use semiconductors. We need a really existence of excitons. Excitons mean electron hole pairs. So when there are electron and hole pairs in semiconductor, they disappear. Their lifetime is very, very small. You cannot make any devices, because you make any devices, the device will live only 10 seconds or few seconds, and device is dead. So therefore, you want to really make excitons, like quantum dots can be one of the. And people are really using quantum dots to create excitons. And there are experiments that have been done already where they have found that a photon interacting with excitons, you find another particle, exciton polarons, and you get again band gap. You get energy gap in dispersion relation of photons in excitonic materials. Okay, so that's another point where you can create a photonic gap. In fact, I was presenting a talk in a conference, and one French scientist, this is long, long time ago, and came to me and he said whether I can do some calculation on exciton polarons, which he has published a paper in PRL, and he found there was a gap, energy gap. So I showed some here. You have a straight line. If you change coupling, increase the coupling, you get band gap in the calculation. So that's a very simple thing I did. I didn't publish the paper at all, but that was fun to work with it. Recently, therefore, what really I want to tell you that electronics, so I'm going to really keep my interest in polartronic. As you know, electronic, we have so many electronic things, you know, computers and cell phones and all sort of thing. You go to electronic shop, you can buy all sort of electronic gadgets. Now, polartronic is between the two, you know, photonic, and this area is not many devices available in the market. Therefore, you can really do some research and produce some new type of devices which can compensate between photonics and electronics. So therefore, I think we are concentrating in this area in that energy range. I don't know, this is one of, by the way, most of the work which I'm presenting here is done by graduate students, okay? My contribution is almost just a supervisor. No, you talk to Dr. Wayne, or talk to Dr. Hammer. They know how much we do. Most of the work is done by our collaborators. But the slide which I just showed you is made by one of my students, okay? Therefore, in 1987, photonic crystals were invented. And by the way, some of you may not know that there are two people here involved, Sajiv John and Yablonovich. And both are Canadian, okay? One is from Montreal, and one is from London, Ontario. Sajiv John is from London, Ontario. His father was professor in our department, and Sajeev, I mean, they have been nominated many times for Nobel Prize, and I'm sure that they will get it. The question of time when they will get it. Now, Sajeev was professor in Princeton. He did, but he was invited back to Toronto. He's in Toronto now. So what they said, that if you take two dielectric materials, like in photonic crystals or semiconductors, you have atoms which are arranged in a periodic structure. You have periodic potential. The periodicity of atoms which create a potential, electrical potential, okay? Electrical potential. So they said that if you, this is not a new thing, it was of course there, but if you take a different type of materials with different dielectric constant and make a periodic, you will find that you will get a band gap in photonic spectrum, okay? So that's what their contribution is. So you can have one dimension, two dimension, three dimension. So basically, we have done quite large work on photonic crystals, you know, not photonic crystals themselves, but doping photonic crystals with quantum dots. And we do, in fact, band structure calculation for photonic crystals. And one can, I did very simple, we did very simple calculation just to show in the lecture that if you take spheres, or if you take a glass or silica, make these holes in periodic structure, and the radius is 300 nanometers, radius is about around, let's say 500, about 50, and do again these band structure calculations which are known in the literature, as you can do yourself. And what you can see, that you can see this is energy, and this is K. And in this dispersion relation, you can see a nice band gap you can create in the system. Now, band gap can be controlled. You can change the dielectric constant, and you can change the energy levels. By changing the radius, you can change the band gap. Therefore, there's a lot of control in creating the band gap. This is sort of human control by that. In nature, like semiconductors, when you take silicon, it band gap is well known, you cannot do anything, right? Here you can really control the band gap of materials, which is really exciting. You can do what you really want to do to make new type of devices. In fact, they have done that, you know, I think long time ago. They made spheres and they did the calculation that, and they showed the band gap. Now, there are new class of materials recently have been invented. Some of you may have heard, they're called metamaterials. And metamaterials were really, they are artificial materials, okay? And they have very fascinating properties. One of the properties, I think, they were told that the dielectric constant and magnetic permeability of these materials is negative. So now, if you, people cannot believe, theoretically it is, you know, theoretically it was predicted by the first time. You see, theorist contribution is huge in science. Theorists always predict something, and then later on, experimentalists just try to do something. So this was theoretically predicted by many, many years ago in Russia, Soviet Union. Okay, there was a very famous scientist who just said, okay, why not I should take dielectric permeability negative, both negative. Of course, metals, I told you that dielectric constant is negative. Not anywhere you can find anything negative. But the question was how you can say that magnetic permeability is also negative. Okay, there are no materials in the nature which exist, which have this property. Therefore, people just laughed at him. They said, this guy is useless. And finally, of course, after some times, Pendry from UK, somehow he did again theoretically. And he showed that, in fact, you can make an artificial material which have both property. He theoretically, and then later on, of course, then in America, they produced these materials, and they showed that these materials can have negative both properties. It's very fascinating. Then the Maxwell equations change. Maxwell equations are not the same now. You have to change the Maxwell equations because Maxwell equations were written only for positive dielectric constants. Now you have to somehow accommodate negative permeability. And so there's a lot of theoretical work you can do in these type of systems. You know, this is very fascinating. Things are going on. And they have very peculiar, like I think US Army is very interested in these type of materials because I think there are some people have said that you can really, people can disappear. It means if you do certain things, let's say you are standing somewhere and I put metamaterial in front of you, of course, everything I can see, but I cannot see the person. Means things disappear. So if their army is coming and enemy cannot see their army is coming, it's a great thing for Americans, you know. Their plane can fly, no one can see there is a plane, but there is a plane. And metamaterials, this theoretical they have showed that you can do that. You can really, planes, you know, these army vehicles can disappear, aeroplane can disappear by using this theoretical idea. And armies really want to give a lot of money, I heard from some of the people. They are very much interested in these materials. This is all theoretical, okay? This is all theoretical. There are some experimental have been done on these things, but a lot of ideas are all theoretical ideas, okay? This is very fascinating. And you can see here, in normal material like water, you can see this one, but if this is metamaterial, then you see something like that. And you can explain it by, of course, refractive index idea. So therefore here, a refractive index, I think, the metamaterials are generally, I think what Pendry said, that you can take a metal, make it in circle, sort of ring, a metallic ring, and make a hole little bit, okay? So when you do that, so basically what, when you electron flows here, when you apply electric field, electron flows here, but there is a gap here, which become a capacitor. So you have a sort of an inductor and a capacitor together. And you can do simple mathematics, and you can show that that system has a negative magnetic permeability. That's what he did. And he, of course, published in PRL, and he's a famous guy. Everyone knows him now. So that is a very interesting thing. And then if you put a metallic rod, so I told you that metal have also a negative dielectric constant. So you have both things. You have negative dielectric constant, you have negative magnetic permeability, together you can make this, and this is called sort of split ring regenerators, this thing, and this is metallic rod, together form a sort of a unit of material, and then you just repeat it, and you can make this metamaterial. People have made this, they have done the experiment, they have reproduced some of the finding, theoretical finding. That's interesting. And of course, the only property here is, according to Maxwell equations, that phase velocity and group velocity in metamaterials are in opposite direction, not in the same direction, okay? That is a very fascinating thing. So basically, that's what I was trying to tell you, that you have magnetic permeability and dielectric permeability, and you can show that they have a negative values. You can see here, this is a dielectric constant, this is dielectric constant, this is energy. And you can see for certain frequencies, you can see from here to here, the dielectric constant is negative. You can see this negative here. And of course, it becomes positive after that. And same thing, this is a magnetic permeability. You can see there's a negative from this point and goes here. This area from here to here become negative. There are certain frequencies, these materials become negative, and they are called metamaterials, okay? You can make them quite nicely. And you can show that dispersion relation here, phase velocity and group velocity are generally same in all the natural materials. Phase velocity and group velocity are in the same direction. But here, group velocity moves opposite to the phase velocity. So that is how you can see this figure, which I was trying to show you. I want to show you that this is a natural material. You can see here. You can see the light is bent like that. I don't know very much, by the way. I'm just learning more about them than I suppose. And you can see when they go to metamaterial, they bend other side. It is just opposite effect. But energy flows in this the same direction. I mean, energy flows from here to here and then here to here. Anyway, the main point is here, I want to just show you, basically I want to show you that these metamaterials are, so you can use sort of this is called TL theory, and you can, transmission line theory, you can use, this is engineers have developed this, it is nothing but matching the boundary conditions from one place to another place, and then you just take periodic condition, and then you have these matrices which you are multiplying many, many times, thousands time, and then you can really do the calculation and you can show there's a band gap. So that's what I want to tell, show you, that these metamaterials have also a band gap and in photonic properties, okay? So I think that is, and then of course, basically, transmission line theories, I'm very much interested, many people are now using in sort of simulate the brain and in our, university, there's a huge, about 500-600 people are working on simulating the brain and brain and mind institute we have. About 100 people are working. It's a huge, huge operation at Western on brain. So what you can do, you can replace by inductor and capacitors and then you put in periodic structures and do all the calculations. And you can see very interesting okay. Now, photonic crystallization, there's a gap. Certain light is of course, transmitted. Certain light is reflected. You know, this is the typical properties of these materials. And this property of all, and this is, I generally would like to show this simulation because this is made by my daughter. She was in grade 8 at that time. So you can see that the kids in Canada, they learn more computer than mathematics. Okay, now in photonic crystal, you can see this is the first time you can really make these different type of devices. Light can travel, these are photonic crystals. Light can travel in one direction. You can bound the light at one place and you can do all sort of things. You can make it 90 degree, which is impossible, all sort of things. You can do with these things. Okay, so let me talk about my research finally. Finally, I will tell you what we are doing recently. So what we are doing really, we are taking nanoparticle and quantum dot together, and they are very close to each other. You know, they are deposited. You take a sort of photonic crystal, any substrate, you deposit these things. So I think I try to develop theory which is sort of related to the experiment nowadays. That's since, at least I would say, about 10 years. That's what I'm doing nowadays. So therefore, you see, what happened when you throw a light on this hybrid system, so what happened, you can induce a dipole here, right? Electric field, when you throw electric field in any material and any atom, you induce a dipole, electric dipole, right? So when you induce electric dipole, so you have a dipole in quantum dot, and dipole in metals. And these dipole interact with each other, and this is a very simple equation which you see in first year physics, okay, which is R cube term. So this dipole-dipole interaction between two things is really depend upon R cube. This is, I'm really wrote here, dipole produced by MNP metallic nanoparticles. This is producing metallic nanoparticles at this point, so therefore this gold is creating a electric field at quantum dot. And since we are talking about nano size, and these electric fields can be huge, and it's really, they are observed experimentally. And the same thing, I think we have done some calculation for graphene, because graphene we treat it as a metal, and there are experiments, people have shown that they act as a metal, they have plasmons. So therefore, we take quantum dot and we did the same calculations like that. The same simulation we use in both cases. And not only that, what also we did, we really put these hybrid system in photonic crystals. You can put inside or outside, or you can do anywhere you like. And then, of course, your formulation changes. And then same thing, recently we have, we are working on this metamaterials. Recently, I think the PRL paper came just now, who are working on metamaterials and quantum dots. They have put it, they have done the experiment, and they have found that photoluminescence is enhanced due to metamaterials. Okay, so one has to understand these experiments, and we have developed already theory which explain these experiments. So we are, I am in touch with this group, and let us see what happens. So this is one of the experiments I wanted to show, that they showed that graphene is really, these are surface plasmas. So graphene really is a metal. It behaves like metal. This is experimentally proved, you know. These are the experiments they showed that. So just I want to show you that. Okay, another point just I want to emphasize, this is more related to making devices, how you can make devices. What you can do really, as you know, these, this is metal. And being a condensed matter person, if you are condensed matter, we know what Fermi level is, okay? So Fermi, each material has its own Fermi level, okay? If in surface plasmons, our plasmons depend upon where your Fermi level is lying, means number of free electrons. Number of free electrons decide where is your Fermi level is, right? So this is, excuse me, sir. Can you give me the hint when I'm going to finish so that, how much time I have? I forgot. 10 minutes, what? Okay, so I'm not starting my research. So I'm going to take about 1 hour more. I'm just kidding. I will finish in 10 minutes. I have not really said anything about my research, okay? But I will go very quickly and tell you what. That is not important. I think more important, I want to tell you that there are type of materials in this, in the people are spending a lot of time on these type of materials now, okay? So that was my purpose. So if you apply, let us say, Bolt, if you change the Fermi level, you can change the Fermi level, you change the surface plasmons, and you can really make a new type of device. That is the main purpose here. So as you apply the Bolt, you can change this peaks, which is the maximum, where the we get huge electric field, okay? These periods. So you can change anywhere you like, you know, from this frequency to that frequency, it depends upon. You can really make the switching mechanism, that's what I was telling you, by applying these electric gate voltage.
You can change it without adding quantum dots. Because graphene also responds to the electric field.
Right, right.
So without quantum dots, just using graphene, do you see the shift?
Yes, exactly. This is without graphene, by the way.
No.
Sorry, without quantum dot.
This
one, yes. Yeah, without quantum dot. Quantum dot is not there. I think we want to see that what happened when I change this, what happened on quantum dot. That is really main purpose of here. So our main purpose is really, we are trying to see how we can use quantum dot, physics, how you can change the physics of the quantum dot by using these background, yes. But that is a good point. And of course, we did this type of calculations. As most of the time, we take really not two levels of quantum dot. Sometimes we take three levels, and there's a lot of control. These, you see, lasers were produced because people took three levels of quantum dot. If we take only two levels, you cannot produce lasers. Okay, so that is why we need a third laser to control the to produce new physics. That is the main point here. So I think we did that, and we, of course, as you see, I have not shown any equations. So, but what we do, right? We write the Hamiltonian. We many field theory we apply. We solve Green functions. We calculate the relaxation time, and then we also use this Marshall equation or density matrix method to find these absorptions and photoluminescence and second harmonic generation, all sort of thing we do. So these are all in my papers, but I don't want to go through at all, really, these things. Okay, so one other thing what we found, that if you take a one peak, so if you take, let's say, atom, it's very simple. Physics-wise, it's a very simple idea, that if you take an atom, it has ground state and excited state. This is ground state and excited state. Electron is here, light comes, and you get one peak. Right? Very simple. So we got one peak, okay? But what happened if you bring the quantum dot closer to graphene? So that quantum dot was alone. You did this experiment, you saw one peak. But once you bring the quantum dot close to this, this is split in two peaks, you can see. And of course, here we have shown here that as R decreases between the quantum dot, you can get two peaks. This is a kind of switching mechanism. You can switch from one peak to two peaks, right? And why it happens? Because there is a huge dipole-dipole interaction between the two. Because matter really creates huge electric field near around. You know, I was telling you, and that electric field really induces sort of these transitions. And then we in quantum optics is called dress states. You create a dress state. So what happened because of the dress state? Because this excited state coupled with polaritons and split in two, because there's degeneracy, and you split it, and you get. So basically, what happened, which I'm going to show you in next slide. So this is the way you can. That is why what happened. These states which are here, they split due to dipole-dipole interactions, and then that is why the one peak, you have two peaks. You go from here to here, and here. That is why this is two peaks. You can have two peaks. And the same thing, of course, I don't want to go further. Let's move on. And we study also quantum dot. And again, here, really, we applied a pump field in the photonic crystal. And we didn't really bother them, just we bothered this. We applied, and then we split this peak, one peak, we split in two peaks. This is photonic crystal because you are changing the band gap now. If you change the band gap of photonic crystal, it affects the coupling between quantum dot and photonic crystals. You can change it, and you can show that that effect. I have to rest because I have limited time. We have other properties. Reservoir effect, I don't want to talk about this. I have to tell you this story. I wrote a paper by myself. Generally, sometimes I write my own paper. Being a theorist, that's what we do time to time, that you want to check yourself whether you are still capable of doing your own research, or only the graduate students are doing for you. So I in fact, since last 6 years, I have written about 10 independent papers, which I publish in PRA, no, PRB, PRA. So I communicated this figure. I don't want to tell you what it figure this is, to PRA. And I said, it looks like in Australia, there's a nice theater. It's called, in Australia, Sydney Opera House. So I said, this picture looks like Sydney Opera House. And these are, by the way, different peaks. You know, if you apply control field and DDI, then you can split these one peak to four peaks. You can do that. And the referee said, oh, no, I don't like that. You should take out this. So I took out easily because I want that this paper should be accepted, right? And the, later on, they put this figure in their website because this figure, they have their website where they put very interesting, in PRA, if you go to PRA, they put these figures to. So they finally, anyway, I have how many minutes now, sir? Two, 3 minutes? Okay, I'm almost done. You can use as sensors. So like if you, let us say, put certain, like you know, DNA or some other things, you know, any chemicals or any outsider material, if you put, you can change the properties, directly constant, and you can see that when you, these figures changes as you change, you put different things, you can see different, and you can measure these things. You can use as sensors these materials. Not only that, we study nonlinear properties, and we study two-photon process. like we can have two type. For you can take three level atoms, you apply probe field in two full field, that there one photon goes here, another photon goes here, so you get two photons. That this is our picture. And or you can just take one or two, just intense laser light, and you can get two photons. So, and this type of calculation we have done. And we have shown that two photon is quenched, means it disappears. So if you take a cadmium sulfide, this is the peak of photoluminescence. When you bring a metallic nanoparticles, this just falls down. This is interesting effects, you know, they make love. And the reason is because photoluminescence is nothing but energy coming out of the quantum dot. How much energy is coming out of the quantum dot? When you bring it here, what I mean, this energy just goes directly to metal. It does not come out. It's just sucked by the, and that is why this is called quenching. And this experimentally they have found. I think one of our collaborators in Argentina, in the UK, they have proved that you can find these things. Anyway, I'm almost done. I have a lot of things to say, so but let me stop here, I think. I want to just show you the last picture. You know, I didn't really have time to go to plasma heating, and essentially I touched it with switching, I told you, and aane ke liye dhanyavaad. I think you don't know what it means, right? Anyone understand what is written there? Have you heard the word dhanyavaad? If you go to India, you will hear this word every conversation. This is called thank you for coming. Thank you very much for coming.
Questions? Well, the switching, so you mentioned that you can use the punk laser to tune the resonance behavior of some kind of dots.
That's the interesting point.
So,
yes.
So that's kind of switching. So basically, instead of tuning the gate voltage, you can using one light beam.
Right, exactly.
To modify the
thank you very much.
Response of the dots.
I didn't have time to show that result. We have done the calculation. Yes.
So is that a switching?
Immediate? Yeah, that is switching, yes. You can one of the paper we did that, one is, as you said, pump laser you apply and change the directly constant, this nonlinear effect, care effect, you know, that's what you're talking about. And not only that, you can apply stress and strain effect. And we were able to publish in Nano Letters, because if you apply stress, you can change the directly constant because of stress. And you can see the same
it
effect.
It's one way to obtain the strong nonlinear effect.
Yes,
because
exactly.
The presence of one frequency of a light may modify the response of at another frequency.
Exactly.
Like that.
Right. We have done all these things. Yes.
Yeah, I see.
I didn't have time to really show those things. Yeah. Thank you. Yes.
Is it possible to produce some quantum effects with these nanoparticles, like putting them in a superposition of two different locations, and what effect would it have on the? So
that's very excellent.
Sort of superposition
I think excellent question. I think when Dr. Wayne came, I think, and he was talking about this. Wave functions are together, and you can make different combinations and all sort. Here, what we do here, we take three-level atoms, and we have coherence. I think that's what you're talking about. Whether you take one quantum dot here, one quantum dot here, and you can create coherent states, you know, and then you can do the calculation. So what do we do within one atom? We do that. We have three state of four-level atom. And then we create a coherency state. And as you said correctly, if they are coherent states together, then you see very interesting effects, which you cannot see, like electromagnetically induced transparency, EIT, you can see. And you can see all sort of, you know, you can make these quantum computers out of it, you know, from these quantum dots.
And with these nanoparticles?
I think metallic nanoparticles are not good for that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, whatever energy is lost, you know, metals are known by energy loss. Okay. Therefore, the lifetime of there is really not very good. But metallic nanoparticles are used to create huge electric field. And that is why they are used, these metals are Now the people are doing experiment. They inject in your blood, you know, and they go there and particular person they collect and they provide heat from them and they heat and these metal become heated because they and they lose a lot of energy. You know, when they lose energy, photons are created and quantum these metals become very heated and then you can burn the these cancer cells. I think this is a good question. Yes. You can get very interesting effect. But we have not taken really coherence between multiple atoms like Dr. Wayne and you guys are doing, you know, more elaborate calculations, which we don't do that. But I'm very much interested to jump in that type of area.
More questions?
Good, I think.
Okay. That's my first.